KPP Concerts and CFRC 101.9 FM present a stacked lineup of shows this January and February at the Broom Factory, featuring a mix of big-name acts and some local favorites. On January 18th, don't miss Canadian alt-rock duo Mountainhead. January 24th features local indie rock outfit Cassador. On January 26th, Bedouin Soundclash takes the stage. February 7th sees Busty and the Bass come to town. And on February 19th, it's a special Wednesday night rock show with headliners Dear Rouge. For additional information and to buy tickets, visit kppconcerts.com.
Good evening, listener. It's now past 8 p.m., Monday night. You know what that means? It means it's time for the Farfield on CFRC 101.9 FM. If you've never been here before, welcome. Welcome to this one-hour segment of your evening. This is where I explore modern classical, modern jazz, ambient music, things to unwind to a little bit, but also to tickle your brain a bit, because I believe that music can be more than just background filler, something that I will talk a little bit about in this episode, based on some recent reading I've been doing from author Liz Pelly. Anyway, so to start things off tonight, we have music by More Ease from Brooklyn. This is from her recent release, Lacuna and Parlor. This is the track Waltz in Memoriam, Old Ways of Living. This is on the, Moondodge label from Warsaw. Really cool stuff. So stick around. We have a fun episode planned for you tonight. Catch you after this one. More Ease right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you. Wilhelmina by piano virtuoso, contemporary virtuoso Aaron Parks from his recent release Little Big Three. And that was released on Blue Note Records, and it features David Ginyard Jr. on the bass, Yoon-Kok Kim on drums, and Greg Tyohee on guitar. And before that, More Ease with the track Waltz in Memoriam of Old Ways of Living from Lacuna and Parlor. Now, I mentioned at the top of the show that I've been doing some reading lately by an author named Liz Pelly. In fact, Liz Pelly just released a report for Harper's Magazine in the most recent issue. This is an article called The Ghosts in the Machine, Spotify's Plot Against Musicians. Very bold title by Liz Pelly. Liz Pelly also just recently released a book that I've started listening to the audiobook format. Been very interesting so far. This is called Mood Machine, The Rise of Spotify and the Costs of the Perfect Playlist, again by Liz Pelly. And in the article in Harper's, what Liz Pelly puts out is a really fascinating case about how Spotify has essentially been creating, or I should say commissioning music, which you could consider as kind of Muzak. Muzak, if you're not familiar with that term, was this kind of, it's kind of like elevator music that used to be around back in the 20th century. And essentially what Spotify's been doing is they have this program that's been around since apparently around 2017 that's called the Perfect Fit Content Program. This is the PFC program, where they essentially commission this, again, kind of bland music to fit into their mood playlist. And it got to a point where by 2023, according to her reporting, playlists such as ambient relaxation, deep focus, 100% lounge, and more, and so on, were almost entirely made of this PFC content. So why is that a problem? Why does that matter? Why do we care? Well, it's something I'm going to come back to later in this episode, but I think it's been a fascinating article, especially for me as someone who is interested in ambient music. Hearing about this type of, this ambient music specifically that's been commissioned for Spotify, and the ways in which that's different from what I consider to be good ambient music, different from ambient music that is artistically interesting versus this music, which is not really artistically satisfying from the perspective of the musicians, as I'll talk about later, but more so just music that is there to serve the purpose of just being background that you tune out completely, which can be the role of ambient music in the original description by Pioneer Brian, you know, I think he summed it up best when he described ambient music as being something that you can both put on in the background and listen to, and it is good in both contexts. And I think that this kind of filler content that Spotify has been commissioning for their PFC program is really only background. So, fascinating article. We'll come back to it some more later in this episode. I think it's worth talking about. But let's move on with some more music for you today. We have music by Drum. That's DJ RUM, who is a classically trained musician working in sort of experimental electronic music. Just come out with the EP Meaning's Edge, which is a fantastic EP. This is from that. This is called Freakum Part 1, and after that we're going to head to Glasgow for music by Pleasure Pool right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you.
CFRC Kingston
plays more solid rock.
Yeah.
Music from Glasgow in the UK. That's from the group Pleasure Pool from their 2022 release Love Without Illusion. And that was the track Lick the Bag. And before that, Drum from his most recent release Meaning's Edge with the track Freckum Part 1. That's F-R-E-K-M Part 1. Well, I wanted to come back to the topic that I was starting to talk about earlier, and that was that I've been reading some work by journalist Liz Pelly, specifically her recent article in Harper's Magazine, The Ghosts in the Machine, Spotify's Plot Against Musicians, where she talks about Spotify's internal program over the past 5-6 years, going on 7 years, where they essentially commission mood music from, not directly from musicians, I should point out, but from specific labels that specialize this, who then hire musicians to essentially just make batches and batches of what is this mood music. And so I talked a bit about that earlier, and I wanted to get into why I am so appalled by this idea and why I find this type of music and this business practice upsetting. And I think it's really because what it comes down to is that this is people creating content. This is people who are now being paid and they're willingly taking these jobs, but they're not really enjoying these jobs. And they're basically just working. They're using the skills they know to produce something that is essentially just stimulus for people to have on in the background while they do other stuff and not have to pay attention to, because we live in a society now that requires stimulus so often. And now it's just, here's some random sounds that are in the background. So why is this bad for musicians? Well, yes, they're being paid to do this, so that's good. But for one, they're being paid a lot less, and important, a lot less than if they were actually being paid traditionally through Spotify system per stream of music that they would produce. So there are cases in which artists, musicians have made music for these labels, sold the music wholesale to the label, given them full rights, and then they notice later that this track has millions of plays, but they are not getting royalties off it because they sold the rights directly to the label, and they've just got paid, you know, some token amount. You know, they got paid a reasonable amount of money, but not nearly as much money as they would have been paid had they actually been accumulating royalties on the stream. So one, it's not really good for musicians economically, but I think more important culturally, this is music, in the words of one of the musicians that Liz Pelly interviewed for her article in Harper's, he described making some of this music as, quote, brain numbing and, quote, pretty much completely joyless. So this is not a fun project to be working on. This is just a way that these people are making money. It's like some musicians take gigs like wedding gigs, which may not be the most fun for them, but they do it because they need to make a living. And so that's what's happening with this. But at the same time, they're not enjoying this. And more importantly, this is not the type of music that they want to be making. And culturally, what we end up with is music that's not interesting. The artist is not engaged with the music, and the product we get at the end of the day is not exciting. It's not culturally significant music. It's effectively flattening in the cultural sense that it's flattening and bland, and it's music that's meant to be put on in the background and not for you to pay attention to. So this, I think, is the big problem. The thing that I am most upset about with this is that we have music that is not interesting. And even though I enjoy ambient music a lot, and I do listen to it as something that's in the background, yes, but the kind of ambient music that I think is truly excellent is ambient music that you can listen to, sit down with a pair of headphones and focus on, and it is rewarding and it is satisfying and it does new things and it does express some kind of emotion, which this type of music is not meant to do. So very fascinating. Again, one more time, that is a lot of information coming from Liz Pelly's article in Harper's Magazine, The Ghosts in the Machine, Spotify's Plot Against Musicians. She also recently published a book called Mood Machine, The Rise of Spotify and the Costs of the Perfect Playlist. Fascinating stuff. Food for thought for any of you who are out there supporting Spotify. I have been supporting Spotify for years, but I may very well soon not be anymore. But again, let's get back to some music. So now we have music for you coming from Øystein Skar. This is a single release on Moderna Records. This is the track Embla. We'll catch you after this next couple tracks before we get a long jam to finish off the show tonight. Here's Øystein Skar. We'll catch you after this one.
Tune in Sundays at 11 p.m. for Orchestral Maneuvers After Dark with me, DJ Squared. Each episode features a great mix of new and vintage, Canadian and international, new wave, punk, post-punk, garage rock, pop, electronica, ambient, and even the occasional remix. Sweet beats are in store for all to enjoy. Join in the fun, OMD, every Sunday at 11 right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Welcome back, listener. Before the break, music by Cluster and Brian Eno from the album Cluster and Eno. Classic duo of Cluster from Germany plus the legendary non-quote self-proclaimed non-musician Brian Eno, an early pioneer in the ambient music genre. And that was the track Schöne Hände. And before that, we heard music by Øystein Skar with the track Embla. That's on Moderna Records for a little bit of nice piano music for us. And I have one nice long jam coming up from Jeff Parker and Company. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we get to that, I just wanted to wrap up the topic of tonight's show, but a bit more talking than I usually do in the show. But I've just been really fascinated and engaged by this recent writing by Liz Pelly, journalist, who wrote a report for Harper's Magazine that came out in the most recent issue called The Ghost in the Machine, Spotify's Plot Against Musicians. I will also mention that Liz Pelly has also just recently published a book called Mood Machine, The Rise of Spotify and the Costs of the Perfect Playlist. Recommend both these things. Read the article, read the book if you're interested. And if in case you missed it earlier, what the discussion covers is that Spotify for a number of years now has been engaging in this program where they effectively pay these specialist labels that mostly focus on essentially kind of background music or commercial music for maybe syncing to TV and so on. They pay them for what is considered to be mood music for these kind of deep relaxation playlists, you know, relaxing morning. And the labels then contract musicians. They pay them a flat rate to produce this very playlist-driven music. And what you end up with is problematic for a few reasons. Culturally, it's problematic because you get this kind of flattening of culture. The culture is becoming... You're getting music that's not really artistically interesting in the same way that a lot of other music that musicians might want to make would be. And it's also not always a great thing for the musicians themselves. They're getting, in some cases, much less money than they would be if they were just receiving royalties on the music they were actually producing, which is what would happen in a more conventional agreement with Spotify. And it's a fascinating article. Recommend you check it out. And I wanted to end things with just talking about, well, you know, if this kind of upsets you or if you disagree with this practice, what can you do? Well, first of all, you know, we do live in a streaming age, but there are many other ways to get music. I would highly encourage you, as I always do, to buy records, go to Bandcamp, buy digital downloads from independent artists, go to record stores. It's always a great way to support musicians directly. Of course, going to shows, supporting them that way. A lot of musicians these days tend to make most of their money from shows and not really from recordings, especially if you're an independent musician, you're probably not making a lot of money on streaming in the best case scenario. So that's one way you can do it. And of course, listening to radio is great. We actually, by playing music on the radio, it does actually help musicians. So listening to the radio is a great way to discover music. And I think that one of the big topics and one of the big points in Liz Pelley's article, one thing that really stood out to me, is really has to do with how Spotify disseminates music and the idea of their kind of discovery system. This is kind of something they've used as part of their branding where it's, yeah, Spotify is a great place to come and discover music. But as it turns out, this system is, I guess, to put it lightly, a little bit rigged. And so if you really want to discover music, my opinion is I would steer you away from any kind of Spotify playlist, autoplay, anything like that. You're much better off just doing your own research, even just finding playlists by other people that is not from Spotify is likely going to get you more interesting music than just background music or stuff that's kind of been paid to be in the playlist. This is kind of something else that they do as well. So, you know, supporting local musicians directly, listening to local radio, finding other ways to discover music, all great things you can do to support music, to support artists, to support the culture of music. And again, I just want to say thank you for listening to CFRC, because this is a local radio station and this is exactly what we're here for. And we're going to finish things off now with some new music by Jeff Parker. This is Jeff Parker's most recent release, The Way Out of Easy, which you can get on International Anthem. This features his ETA Fortet, some musicians from SML, Small, Medium, Large, a group that I've featured on the show before. I featured them on my top albums of 2024. Actually, I think that was a great album. So specifically, we're talking about Josh Johnson and Anna Butters from SML. Also in the ETA Fortet, we have Jay Belrose and of course, Jeff Parker himself on guitar. So we're going to be listening to the track Late Autumn. And it's been a great night. It's a bit of a longer track to see us off. So I'll see you next time on the Far Field. It's been wonderful as always. If you want to reach me, John F. McCrae on the Instagram is currently the best place for it. Otherwise, I wish you a great night and enjoy some Jeff Parker.
Bye.